from CFNY FM, Marsden Radio program tonight, and I have as my guest John Small, the man who 9 years ago this month announced to the world, and indeed it was the world, although at the time he announced it only to Detroit, he eventually announced it to the world because the world took hold of the story that Paul McCartney was dead. And as we have discussed already, in case you've just joined us, we were talking about how he established it. When you, we were talking about this last night, John, as a matter of fact, because when you originally started this in Detroit and then suddenly realized that the entire world was literally at your doorstep asking, how did you know, is what they were asking you. How did you answer them?
It was very difficult to answer because you had to turn around and really start investigating. There were three of us, Dan Carlisle, who was an announcer at the station, and Russ Gibb, who was a school teacher in the daytime. At night, he ran the Grandy Ballroom, which was the one of the key ballrooms in the country that brought all the big acts to Detroit and made all parents go crazy because their kids usually hung out there on Friday and Saturdays. And he had a show on the same station. It really wasn't our original idea, although we had kicked it around for many, many times that we would do somewhat of a special on the thing. And what happened was that in the process of talking about it on the air, people start responding back to us. And really it was the listeners and the avid Beatle fans who really brought the thing to light. It was just our vehicle to put it together. And we answered in as many ways as possible and investigated, as you will hear tonight on the program that we did. It was not just a superficial kind of investigation. We went all the way from London, England, across to the Indian Ocean, trying to find clues and attitudes and voice tracks and anything we could.
Now, you talked to some of the Beatles while you were doing that investigation.
The only one we actually talked to who would talk to us, and he was rather adamant, but he couldn't understand the insanity of it all, was John Lennon, and we'll hear a little bit of that later, but we never did talk to anyone else, and nor would they acknowledge that they were alive or dead. Nor did the record company, interestingly enough, or ABCO, which was representing the Beatles at the time. It was interesting in that you have such a gigantic amount of publicity for a group, and mind you, they're doing quite well. I mean, they weren't financially in the streets. But there was a laid-back kind of no-comment thing from anyone who had anything to do with the group to begin with.
Do you think that added fuel to the fire?
I thought it brought about some suspicion that things really weren't going well.
Did you ever think, going well within the Beatles?
Yes, the Beatles and or the record company and or the future of Beatles as we knew them.
Did you ever at any time really honestly believe in your heart that Paul McCartney was dead?
No.
You did not?
No, from the point of view that I don't think he was dead physically. I thought spiritually he was dead from the group. There had been a great deal of arguing between the APCO factions and the Eastman factions, which, as you know, is Linda Eastman's father and brother. And the business end of that kind of deal was the difficult part. And I think that really symbolized the death of the group from the point of view that they just were not getting along anymore, financially, legally, or aesthetically.
Did you ever, at any point in time, think that perhaps all of the clues that you ultimately picked up on, the album cover stuff, the hidden messages in the songs, did you ever anticipate or think in your mind that maybe that was laid there purposely and it lay dormant for years, waiting for someone to find it so that it would become one of the greatest marketing hypes ever known to man?
I can't imagine that it would be much of a hype. You see, I think, as you know as well, that musicians have a lovely, dry sense of humor. And in many cases, they attempt to be different just for the sake of being different. There are the times when someone will put a bag on their head or walk around with one shoe off or do whatever they do. And it's fun, you know, it's crazy. It is away from the norm, and I for one, enjoy it. And I think many people enjoy it.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, you can take the bag off your head now.
Thank you very much. Just a minute. Very nice. Now I can see it. It's got the warmth of my proctologist's finger. It's incredible.
Okay.
Nice studio.
Thank you. All right. Now, let us, I think, you said some really interesting things last night to me in relation to it, and you touched upon it there a moment ago, about the fact that maybe you were on to not the death of Paul McCartney, but the death of the Beatles as we knew them at that time. Because the rumors of their breakup or the rumors of the fact that they would never appear anywhere again, that was really not a predominant factor at this time in history, was it?
That's right. The thing was that it was the kind of a thing that you really found out thereafter. Interestingly enough, David, I don't think there was a time after that program ever was done, and the program had nothing to do with it, but there was never a time that they ever performed again together, physically. And to me, that was the death of Beatles in the sense that they no longer were.
Do you think that all of us, the rest of the world that traipsed a door, a path to your door, as it were, as the creator of the story, do you think we knew that it was over, that it was the end of an era, and that maybe that is why the Paul McCartney is dead story took hold of the nation, of the world, to such an extent?
I think music, Beatle music particularly, has always been more than just a record. It has been historically part of our lives. And it was very difficult to understand that after having been brought up on that kind of music, and it certainly became the anthem of so many people, that I think they were frightened that they were in fact being deserted by something that was part of their lives. And I feel, even today, listening to Beatle music is really not like listening to other records to some degree. It's like a part of your being.
Provided that you grew up in the 60s.
That's right. That's okay. Right. In relationship to the people that were there and listening to it.
All right, let us get to the tape. Before we get to it, I should explain to you that the tape is 9 years old. This is, in fact, it is exactly 9 years old. The quality has somewhat diminished over the period of time, because this is the original tape that was used on the air at WKNR in Detroit, Michigan. You may have to adjust your stereo systems somewhat to get the quality out of that you're used to with CFNY-FM. All right? So I'm going to roll the tape right from the beginning. Is there anything you'd like to explain before we go into the tape?
It's always interesting when those of us who have done programs like this and you trace back over those years. The writing certainly is different than what you do today. The talking is different. In essence, I think what I enjoyed when I listened to it again was just the basic attempt to show people and to bring all the clues to the foreground and let people decide by themselves. There are so many things, if we were to do it over again today, would be different. But
right.
I think it stands on its own merit for that period of time 9 years ago.
Okay. You also might, as we go into listening to the tape, it might be advantageous to you at home to get all of your Beatle albums together. Because there are a lot of things that as this tape is running, you are going to have to look at the album. I guarantee that you're going to have to look at the LP. You don't have to if you don't have a copy. But if you have, you're going to be running to your records. So get your Beatle albums together and adjust your set as soon as we get this tape rolling. This then, ladies and gentlemen, from CFNY-FM and the Marsden Program, is the John Small presentation that in 1969, October of that year, literally shook the world.